Our time brought to you by Centennial Bank. Proud to serve their community since 1916. Member FDIC.
The Victory, 93.7, WTKB Atwood Milan.
All righty. And yes, I know I've been here for a little while this morning with the one and only world-renowned Stevie Ray. And now I am here. Yes. Nobody, he hits his own applause button. That's pretty bad. Oh, my goodness. Dr. Tina, I'm telling you what. I remember why I quit getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, okay? Dr. Tina Alakwa is in the house, and we are excited for today's Hope for Women. And we are going to be talking about some loss and how to deal with it during the holidays. As a matter of fact, yesterday I spent in Gleason. My mother's baby brother passed away on Christmas Eve morning. And so I know that their family is going through a great loss, and our family.
Yeah.
So out of, 10 children, there's only 3 children left. And
wow.
He was the baby.
Yeah.
So Mr. Charles Roach Ballou. So, but...
This is good timing then.
It is good timing. It is great timing. And I was reading the story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, how it came about to Steve. And, you laugh, but actually the guy that wrote the book, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, he wrote it because his wife had passed away from cancer, and they spent all their money on the cancer treatments and everything, and he had a little girl, and he couldn't afford to get her anything, so he wrote her a book.
Oh,
and 1938, and the book became famous.
Yes.
And so out of ashes comes a glory. And I know that you're well versed in that, Dr. Tina, and I don't know, maybe you want to open up with prayer this morning.
Sure.
Before we get started, but
yeah.
I'm excited to be here with you.
I did not know the history on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, but that is a book that we actually have a copy of from when I was a little girl.
Right.
So now I'm 46 years old, and we have this book that I had when I was little, and that is a family tradition that, with a whole bunch of other books, including the story of Christmas with Jesus coming to earth, we read.
Right.
So I love hearing that. That
yep.
is amazing.
Mr. Bob Mays wrote it for his wife's name was Evelyn. His daughter's name was Barbara.
Oh, and one thing I wanted to ask Stevie Ray, if it's not too late, could he stream it?
I believe that he is going in that direction right now.
Yay! Wonderful.
And he's
wonderful.
Recording it, so.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Stevie Ray. Okay, well, let's go before the Lord in prayer.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, and we are so grateful for who you are and for what you've done. And we're so thankful that when we look at what we thought was the most awfulest day in the world, the day that they crucified our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it wasn't the end. He rose 3 days later, just as he predicted that he would. And I'm grateful that even in the few minutes that we've opened up this show, we've been able to talk about good that comes from heartbreaking loss, that comes from those times of darkness. Lord, we pray that right now, those who you desire to hear your message of hope and truth would tune in, whether they be in their car driving, whether they're at the office, whether they're at home. Lord, that they would turn on the Victory, and they would hear your words of encouragement and hope to them. You do bring beauty from ashes. And so we invite you, Lord, to come and be present with us this morning to facilitate our discussion, that your words would come through loud and clear to the broken hearts of those who are listening. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And, anybody that's ever listened to your show knows that you've suffered a great loss in your life, and loss can be not just people, but it could be a job, it could be your health, it could be your finances, it could be all of the above at one time. Sickness is very costly these days, but during the holiday season, it can be difficult for any kind of loss. And so tell us, a memory of the past holiday that is sort of now bittersweet in remembering from a loss, Dr. Tina.
Well, what makes the holidays difficult for me literally is not having my mom and dad, who I lovingly refer to as Mom and Pop. My favorite holiday with my parents was Christmas. It was the holiday I was always home for. My mom would go out and cut down the tree with my oldest brother, and I lived far away for a long time. I lived on campus for undergrad, and then I was in a different state for graduate school, and then my jobs postdoctorate were in other states. So wherever I lived, my mom would wait until I came home. And we would drag that tree into the house, and we would spend days decorating the Christmas tree while listening to Christmas music, making Italian Christmas cookies, wrapping presents, shopping to buy more presents and wrapping those. It was the best time. Then after I met my husband, Laird, he would come home with me and take part in the tradition. I remember one year he was responsible for typing up the Italian cookies recipe while my mom and I baked. She was one of those Sicilians who was excellent at cooking and would never use a recipe. It was just always in her head, and she'd use a pinch of this and a dab of that, and it would just come together. And so that particular Christmas, we tried so hard that before she put anything in that mixing bowl, we would measure it out and Laird would type it up. And we were also amazed at my dad, who, I grew up in Albany, New York, and they have a ton of snow.
Right.
My dad, who was in his late 70s, early 80s, was always out shoveling the snow and ice. And one year, my husband Laird, who, for those of you who may not know, he's a Southern boy. He was born and raised in Auburn, Alabama. He is not used to snow. Well, he comes home with me for Christmas, and he'd never really experienced snow ever in his life. He experienced 28 inches of snow.
Wow.
And for those that don't know, they've got these gigantic snow blowers. And they drive down our busy street. It was Washington Avenue. So my dad would be out there, and he would shovel our long, long, long driveway, get it all cleared out so we could pull out the car, because life doesn't stop in Albany, New York, even if you have snow. We don't wait till the sun comes out and melts the snow. People drive in it all the time. So he was constantly shoveling out the driveway so we could bring the car in and out. Well, then these snow blowers come by, and they scoop up all the snow, and it falls off the ends of the blade and leaves it at the end of the driveway where my dad has just shoveled it. And he would never complain. He would just go back out again and shovel it. One day it was like in the middle of the night, and Laird is like, what is that noise? And it was my dad out there in the middle of the night shoveling.
Wow.
So it's losses really around my parents that I have such great memories about the holidays that make it difficult. And that same month that my parents were murdered, my father-in-law died. So that just causes the whole celebration of the holiday season to change enormously. And I've had to go into whatever holiday it is with a new normal.
Right.
What's going to be the new normal?
Right. Have you made like new traditions, family traditions?
Yes.
Of your own now? Yeah.
Yes. And I've really had to, and it changes, you know, every year. So, for example, this year, we usually have one of my former students and his wife, who we're very close to, and they've adopted our girls. We usually have them over for Christmas. But this year, they couldn't do it. And we were able to go to the former speech-language pathologist for my little girl, Christina, who they've also adopted our family. We went over for Christmas Eve and spent Christmas Eve with them.
Wow.
And I would love for that to be the new normal. They are just wonderful folks who really love and embrace us and are real encouraging in this day-to-day journey of living with autism. And they showered us with blessings this year. So it changes every year. We do have some consistent traditions, like reading the Rudolph Reindeer book and having a birthday cake for Jesus and reading the Christmas story from the Bible and blowing out the candle, singing happy birthday to Jesus.
Do you make any of those cookies that your mom made?
I have not in quite a while. Mm-hmm. And my friend said to me the other day, we've got to pull out that recipe and just tackle them and make them.
Right.
I remember one year I made them, and since my family's in Albany, New York, I packaged them up in a box and sent them to my siblings. And they appreciated them.
I bet. Brought a lot of memories back, I'm sure.
And so you probably have done some things different this year, even with the Dream Center, because you're no longer in the same place. And so that you've moved from your home, a loss of that home at the Dream Center off of Highland that
right.
we've known for many years, to now a new facility.
Exactly. It was different, having the two houses and... we tried to be as traditional and keep with what we normally do as possible, but it was a little more difficult not being all in the same facility, but it went well. It went well this year. So
that's what I hope our listeners will do, is that, you know, as the ups and downs of life happens and we get losses of our home, of our finances, of our health. It was my brother, Tony, who it seemed every single Christmas we would hear that the cancer came back.
Aww.
And so there you go again. You're going into this holiday season that is joyous because we're reflecting on the truth that in Genesis, when God said, I'm going to be sending a Savior to the world. He did. That was Christmas morning when Jesus was born. Our Lord and Savior came to the world. But in the midst of that joy and centering around Jesus Christ comes life, and we experience these losses. And I just encourage our listeners to have an open mindset of allowing Jesus to come in and reshape what that holiday season is going to look like for that year, knowing that it may change and typically will change as the years go on, but embracing the gifts that the Lord wants to give you in that holiday season.
Exactly. I was at a women's event at West Jackson Baptist Church, and I was sitting there talking with some ladies, and they were sharing some of their holiday traditions that they have, and I thought, you know, it is so interesting how different people celebrate and how they continue as the children grow up, and then the grandchildren come into the picture, and you know, you might not have Christmas Day anymore, but, you know, you have the day after or the day before, you know, to celebrate with that particular family. And I know in my home this year it was very different because this year, you know, Dad didn't want to leave the residential care facility he was in. You know, he just wanted to stay there with his new family. And so that was a lot different, you know, because usually we go to his house and I cook, and or he comes to mine and I cook, and we open presents and, you know, and just enjoy each other's company. And with his mind and the dementia, he didn't understand why he had presents, but he really enjoyed the chocolate covered cherries. But,
yeah.
So, which has been a tradition for as long as I can remember, with my dad. Even I've always gotten my dad a box of chocolate covered cherries because that's one of his favorite candies. And and again, that was his favorite part of Christmas. He said, "I don't need those clothes. I don't know why you got me any clothes, but," he said, "I'll keep these." He was talking about the cherry. So that was great, you know.
Yeah.
I love it.
And what you're able to do there is you're able to grieve. Okay, this Christmas is not going to be like it was. I'm not cooking at Dad's house. He's not coming to my house. But we're still going to find joy.
Right.
In the time that we have with him in his new facility.
That's right.
And that really goes into some of the points I wanted to make with our listeners, that there are some specific strategies that I've really prayed to the Lord to give me so that I could survive and thrive through the holidays. And I'm going to use the acronym SURVIVE, SURVIVE, to make it helpful for us to remember. And the first is the S, set aside some time to grieve. And I do this when I'm grieving, and even when I'm worried about something. I say, okay, for this amount of time, I'm going to cry, and then I'm going to put on my happy face and go have Christmas with my family. And those first few Christmases without my parents were so sad. It was so hard. But I would say, okay, with the holidays being so busy and you just tend to be on the go, no, I'm not going to bury the feelings. I am going to allow myself to sit in the ashes and grieve.
Right.
And so the grief is always going to be present underneath, and it's always going to come out at the most inopportune time if we are not intentional about setting aside that time to grieve.
Right.
And a situation for me just came up this past Thanksgiving. For Thanksgiving, we always go to my husband's family's house. And it used to be we'd go to his mom and dad's house, and we'd stay there for days, and they would cook and just have such a wonderful family time, and you just felt so pampered and taken care of. Well, after his dad died that same month that my parents died, and then his mom got worse and was eventually in a nursing home now, we had to develop that new normal. And she's 94 years old, and she also has dementia, and so we don't go to her home anymore. Now we go to Laird's sister's house in a different state. And we've been doing that for a few years now, so that's now become the new normal. But this past Thanksgiving, you know, I have my special needs child, and large crowds, even when they're blood relatives, are really difficult for her. So my youngest and I stayed home in Jackson, and my husband and my oldest child went to Georgia for Thanksgiving. We had to be intentional about setting aside time to grieve, not being with our biological family, not being with my husband and my oldest, and thanking the Lord for the Christian family that had us over for dinner, just Christina and me.
Right.
So I want our listeners to think about it now. We're still in the holiday season, and for many of the people that have gone through my Hope Beyond Loss class, they have said what I have identified with is it's not just that holiday of Thanksgiving or that holiday of Christmas. It seems to be the few months leading up to it and the few months after it, or the few months that lead up to that anniversary of when they lost their home, or the few months that lead up to when they got that diagnosis of cancer. And so think about it. When is that time you're going to set aside to grieve, and how long are you going to give yourself. The second thing is I'd encourage our listeners for the you, unite. Unite with others who you love and love you. I have this close friend, Ms. Gail, who does not have close relationships with her family members, and so she doesn't often spend the holidays with them. She chooses, now listen to that word, she chooses to spend the holidays alone versus with her Christian brothers and sisters. And year after year, we invite her to come over to our house and to spend it with us, and I get the same old answer, well, you're not my biological family, but we are your Christian family. Well, yes, I know, but I'm just going to stay here. And so she intentionally places herself in that victim situation. Instead of what I encourage our listeners to do is step out of your comfort zone and spend time with those who love you for the holidays. Unite with them and thank the Lord for those people. Do not isolate yourself, but be intentional that, okay, this might not be as comfortable, but I'm going to be intentional and I'm going to step out of my comfort zone and I'm going to unite with those who love me. I'm going to embrace this new normal and I'm going to have fun. I'm going to really let them love on me.
Amen.
Like the third one is R, and that's reminisce. Recall, talk about, remember, tell stories. Just like you, Ms. Gail, asked me about a story when we first opened up our time together, a story that was bittersweet in remembering. And when our listeners are with their grown children, their grandchildren, be intentional about reminiscing. Be intentional about, for me, it's using my mom's decorations. I shared in my story how I just love to be there and decorate the Christmas tree. And so after they passed on and met the Lord face to face, I took some of those Christmas decorations. And I'm intentional about having them on my tree and having the angel that always sat on the top of my mama's tree on my tree now. So I encourage our listeners to think about one or two stories that, yeah, you may get teary-eyed as you share them, but it's okay. Share them. Share them with those who love you. They want to hear it. Most people think, oh, we're not gonna bring up so-and-so because it's just going to cause our loved ones to cry. It's okay to cry. It's okay. And they'd rather they talk about their loved ones than not. It's like the pink elephant in the room. Everyone knows, oh, it should be Grandpa that's sitting in that chair, and he's not. That's where Grandpa always sits. And so acknowledge it. You know what? I miss Grandpa this year. I miss that's the chair he always sat in, and he always brought those chocolate-covered cherries for us to eat. And so be intentional about recalling and talking about and remembering our loved ones.
Absolutely.
Okay, are you ready for more? We've talked about three. We've got four left.
Go ahead.
Okay.
V,
visit others in need. Open your home to include others who need a place to go on Christmas. And as a university professor, I often think of students from other countries who live so far away and need that place to go on Christmas Day. Invite them to your home. I shared about how Christina's former speech-language pathologist that we still keep in contact with invited us to her home. And that's where we went for Thanksgiving. That's where we went for Christmas Eve. And so be intentional about inviting others to your home, about you going to their home. Listeners, who is the Lord telling you right now to invite over for dinner? Maybe it's a New Year's Eve dinner. Maybe it's New Year's Day. Maybe it's a day or two after New Year's. Be intentional to be on the lookout. You know, when we always go to a new church, we think, oh, well, no one talked to me at church. Well, who did you talk to? Look for those people that are sitting alone that might need a friend. And you go up and sit with them. And you go up and think about those people at church that have lost loved ones who live far away, and invite them. And you may say, like I often say, oh, I'm not a good cook. Well, go out to dinner then. Go out to a restaurant. Meet for coffee. Be intentional about visiting with others who need some support and encouragement during the holiday season. I is include your loved one. My sister is so good at this. So during my mom or dad's B-Day, she used to make dinner and a birthday cake and then invite my siblings that were in the Albany, New York over. And I remember how I would talk about creating this new normal, the joyful time that I would spend with my mom in preparation for Christmas, I now spend with my daughters. And so we go buy presents together, and we wrap them, and we decorate the house. Those traditions I used to do with my mom, I now do with my daughters. So listeners, what is something your loved one enjoyed doing that you could do to include them in the holidays? V is visit with God. This is probably the most important one. Visit with God as you would a friend. Talk with him. Share your broken heart. When you set aside time for grief, make sure the Lord is there in that time. I share Isaiah 53:3 and 51:6a, which says, our loving Heavenly Father God understands. In fact, God desires truth, honesty, authenticity. We know that even Jesus Christ understands because Christ came as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You know, Jesus was fully God and fully man when he came to earth, yet he was without sin. He was holy, being conceived through the Holy Spirit and born of a virgin. His 33 years on earth gave him the credentials to understand us. He comforts us. He sympathizes with us. In Hebrews 4:15, it says, for we do not have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who's unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Ask God, as you're visiting with him, for scriptures to encourage you. One holiday season, Ms. Gale, I was really struggling, and I was asking God to give me some encouragement from his word. He gave me Romans 15:13, which reads in the New Revised Standard Version, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, amen, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, then I go to church, and our directional pastor preached on that same verse.
Don't you love that?
Yes, yes.
The confirmation of God.
Oh, yes. He's there. He wants to comfort us. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with our grief, and he sympathizes with us. So I encourage our listeners, visit with God. Ask him for those scriptures. He will comfort you. He wants to love on you, and he is equipped to do it. E is our last acronym, our last letter in Survive, and it's express your love to God. Even if you don't feel like it, sing praise songs to God. There were many times that I would be at church with just tears streaming down my face, and I would visualize my parents in the presence of the Almighty. Mm. I would sing praise songs. Even though I was in excruciating pain, I said, I am going to sing your praises, Lord. And Psalm 89:1 says, I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. Listeners, tell God out loud how good he is to you, how he meets you during this difficult season. As you read the Lord's word, thank him when his word comes alive, when you experience him. For example, through my losses, I've been able to say, thank you, Lord, that you are my strong tower, my refuge, my comforter, my righteousness. my judge, my rock, my living water, my peace. It is only God in me that I can have peace, strength, and joy in the midst of great sorrow. And I want our listeners to also be able to say that. So it's my hope that as we survive, as we set aside some time to grieve, you unite with others we love and who love us, our reminisce, visit others in need, I include loved ones in creating a new normal, visit with God, express God's love and faithfulness to others and to God himself. In doing this, my prayer is that we'll not only survive the holidays, but we'll thrive through the holidays. We'll experience deeper intimacy with God and others. It's my prayer that the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Any final words, Ms. Dr. Tina, that you want to leave our listeners with? I know it can be a really terrible time when you've lost a loved one, especially around the holidays, going into the holidays. So any final words of encouragement?
Yes, I want to tell our listeners three things. First, if you're struggling and you want to learn how to process your losses through a biblical worldview, then contact me through the Doral Cove website, DoralCove.com. At that website is a Contact Us tab. And we have a Bible study called Hope Beyond Loss, a biblical framework for processing and surviving loss. It's a 10-week Christ-centered experience for those who have struggled with grief and loss. And as Ms. Gale mentioned, it's all types of loss. In fact, let me read you the description from our church bulletin. It says, life is hard. None of us are spared heartache, pain, and loss. At some time, we all experience a number of heartbreaking events, whether that be a loss of a loved one, infertility, the loss of a job or dream. Loss comes in many forms, and we all experience this reality. Join us Sunday, January 15th at 10:30 a.m. for Hope Beyond Loss, a curriculum that will help you process your losses through a biblical worldview. Through small group discussion, prayer, and teaching, you will encounter Jesus Christ, our only hope, who will provide direction, hope, healing, and peace during life's difficult seasons. We'll meet at Fellowship Bible Church, which is at 141 Pleasant Plain. So that's the first thing. If you are struggling with your losses and you want to even join a friend, maybe it's not you that's struggling, but your friend is, your friend will more likely want to be a part of this 10-week Bible study if you come with them. So contact me through the Doral Cove site and tell me you're interested in Hope Beyond Loss. If you say, well, I'm not ready for a study, but I'd like a resource, then I have a free resource that I want to send you. You'd also go to the website, and you'd ask for the Hope Beyond Loss book. This is the same book that we use as we go through the study, but you can have it, and you can use it reading through. It's set up in a devotional format. It's easy to read, and it'll help you to experience the Lord. You might just want to go to the website. This is number three and my final point. You might just want to go to the website for free resources that will help you to walk through the ups and downs of life with Jesus. So go to Doral Cove, DoralCove.com, and look at all the free resources. Some are articles. Many are radio segments. We have today's Hope for Women radio vignettes that play at 7:50 on the Victory 93.7 every day, Monday through Friday. And you'll even see I created a new tab that says Today's Hope for Women and more Today's Hope for Women. Because thanks to the Dream Center and the Woman's Clinic on Copeland Drive, we have been providing Today's Hope for Women interviews and radio vignettes since September of 2015.
Amen. Helping women help women.
Yes, giving hope to women. That is what the Dream Center is about, what the Women's Clinic is about, what Doral Cove Ministries is about. And so we want to partner with you and help turn your eyes to Jesus Christ, who is our only hope in this fallen world. I pray that you will contact me, and I pray that you'll be a part of Hope Beyond Loss. And you can even come just the first day, see what it's about. And then you can decide whether you want to continue in our 10 weeks together. Ms. Gale has had women from the Dream Center be a part of it. I've gone to the Dream Center to even offer it there. And so I pray you'll join us January 15th at 10:30.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so very much, Dr. Tina, and Happy New Year as we have a new beginning. New beginnings for the Dream Center and new beginnings for folks that have experienced loss, because it's things will change. But you know what? You can be blessed through it. And like Rudolph, the story of Rudolph, Ashes to Beauty. And so we're excited, and we'll continue. Today's Hope for Women. We thank the Woman's Clinic on Copeland Drive for their support of this ministry and reaching out to women one woman at a time.